Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our consciousness, where we are heading as a planetary civilization. And that's about a process of awakening that's happening to a lot of people, and more people are becoming aware that something is happening. And so this program is really directed towards this awakening that's happening worldwide, and probably throughout many dimensions as well. I'll be talking today to Tobias Lars, who's in his own process of activation and awareness and increasing perception. So I'm very happy. And he's also teaching about that as well, the course of awakening, the inner body awakening, the alchemical process are all soul activation courses. He is presently teaching out of Sedona and then also around the country. So, Tobias, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Alan. Nice to be here.
Now, your personal awakening, was that pretty radical, or were you preparing for that for a long time?
There's God calling now. He'll tell you.
Right.
I'm kidding.
No, tell me.
No, it was very, of course, looking back, it's perfect always, right? When we look back, it's, oh, that was perfect. My soul ordered that. But while our awakenings happen, they can seem earth shattering. They're paradigm destroying for us. So when I was a young guy, freshman in college at the University of Connecticut, I had Kundalini awakening happen one night, and remembering other lifetimes of being a yogi, you know, literally the archetypal in the cave in the Himalayas, Babaji, you know, and these energies just opened me up. And the positions, I just saw pictures of the asanas, the ashanas, the yogic positions, and my body remembered how to do them. And I couldn't deny the energies, the spinning out of my head, the deep relaxation, the breath stopping, the heart stopping. And then I actually went back to the nurse a few weeks later and played with my heart in the sense of being able to stop it for a few beats and watching her with her stethoscope. I think I'm 19 years old at the time. Go, there's something wrong here. So that was deep proof to me that there's something happening. I'd grown up scientific environment. My dad was a nuclear physicist. My mom was an artist. We were from Sweden. And so we really, I had no religion, no teaching, nothing. It just sort of came as a trigger awakening point.
And did anything precipitate this awakening? Were you doing something?
I had just started to read the Tao Te Ching. That was it. Uh-huh. I just started to read that beauty. They just reissued a 25-year anniversary. A French publisher of the Tao Te Ching, Beautiful Pictures.
Yeah, I love that book. I have about 100 copies. Because each, no, really, each translation in English is a little different. And I finally bought Jonathan Starr's version of that, where he shows you how you can make your own translation. So, but that is a great book, because that is a book, and I actually had a spiritual experience with that book too, where I was kind of in an altered state of consciousness, and I was looking at from a sleep, and I was kind of waking up out of sleeping, and I was still kind of half asleep, but I was looking at the books on my bookshelf, and they all had an energy coming off of them, like an ego-based energy, except the Tao Te Ching. There was no energy, and there was none of that ego energy out of that book. So I can relate to that story in that book. So that activated you. And what year was that?
78, 79.
Oh, yeah. So you've been on this for quite a while now, huh?
And ever since, the ride has been interesting. Yeah, beautiful. What, you know?
Well, what was your, so you had this thing, this Kundalini activation, and then did you continue on with your, business school?
I did. That was undergraduate. I was going to be an MD, sort of. That was the most practical thing to do. But this opened me up, and I remember starting to read back then Fritz of Capra's book on the Tao of Physics. You remember him?
Yes. He was one of the early bridges of science and consciousness, probably the real foundation of what became the New Age.
Yeah.
That book.
And I remember taking that book, since my dad was a physicist too, and I thought, this makes sense. It's kind of a real science. You know how physicists are sort of like, we're actually doing the real science. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I remember taking it to one of my physics professors, and it was like kryptonite to him. You know, it scared him, right?
Well, it is scary because it suddenly challenges the paradigm, you know, and the old saying that science progresses one funeral at a time. It's because people get really attached to their way of thinking. And
yeah. And it broke my heart to realize, oh, there's not true inquiry going on here. You know, there's some other agendas or fear things. And so I kind of walked away from science then. And I automatically went into 7 years of being a pretty strict vegan, vegetarian, literally sleeping on the floor, doing the yoga every night. And no one ever taught it to me. It was taught to me that first night by my own soul, my own spirit. And what I realized later are my teachers, you know, our eternal guru teachers type thing, even though they are very interested in undoing the guru thing at the moment. And we can talk about that as well.
Well, the internal teachers are, I mean, if you're aware of them, and I think a lot of people are, I think I am, they aren't the guru thing because it's nothing outside of you to worship. And that's been the problem with the guru thing. It's become an ego substitute for spirituality, and the true guru is definitely inside of us. So you went on this journey, and of course now you're in Sedona, which is really the capital of spirituality in America. But so what did you do, though? Did you start, I mean, what was the process and learning and opening, and what happened in your body particularly? Because I know in this time, the energetics of awakening are actually coming into physical form. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm glad to talk about it personally. It's sort of like revisiting yourself. It's kind of fun. But so something happened even that first night. I felt huge rushes of energy. And each position that my body remembered how to do, and this was undeniable to my young scientific mind, felt like keys in a lock. It's almost like your whole body was a mudra, a position. The way the Hebrew alphabet, in a sense, also those letters are actually three-dimensional symbols in space-time. These are quantum keys and locks, and the ancient yogic system knew how to do that with the body. So that started happening, and I could feel this expansion physically, like I'm 30 feet round, I'm a big sphere. And then as I would keep doing these, I would do it every night after them, but of a want to. It was not a discipline. It was, this is what I want. It just feels good.
Well, that's the best discipline, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so you weren't being taught. But and for how many nights in a row did you do that?
It started then, and every night for the next 7 years, just about, unless I was traveling or something, I would do my yoga and my meditation, and it was – but that first night was a big sort of crash through the wall, awakener. And I had been dissatisfied a little bit. So just for everybody listening to, you know, whenever there's a dissatisfaction, and even with my clients now, I'm finding a lot of people that have been on the path for many, many years, 20, 30 years, are having radical shifts. Like they seem like they're falling away from their old ways. There's something formless being born right now. So even if you're feeling like you've done certain patterns of yoga or teaching or qigong or whatever your personal discipline or Buddhist meditation practice, I've had two very powerful cloistered Buddhist monks as clients in the last year or so. Very interesting. Coming out and back out into the world.
Well, what are they saying is, we can jump ahead. What is happening right now that is so different?
Yeah, it's a simpler. We've had to have sort of rigid is a harsh word, but organized systems. You know, we're better than when it was cloistered in the strong secret monasteries and secret places, but now it's even going beyond forms. You know, beyond schools. You don't have to learn a particular school of whether it's qigong or yoga or anything. It's becoming something more formless, something more fun, playful, enjoyable, direct access, like direct access dropping into your heart. And so many people that have done the work, meaning they've been interested or intending for real awakening in themselves, now there's a wave spreading out across of back to simple living. I mean, it's like our dogs live more naturally with a Tao than we do. And so there's going to be a natural human again. The natural human is not going to need to do discipline, but rather just be from their being, from their central chakra system. And even, we don't even, chakras are made up. It's something, they're true, but it's just a system we've made up as well. And so there's something natural that's being offered, sort of like a wave that's spreading across the planet. There's a rebirth, the true rebirth. Jesus, once we get to those places, there's no more discipline or structure or teaching or practice. There's no more practice, there's doing, there's being. No more practice, simply being.
Now, why is this happening? I mean, I think it's because we're moving into a new energetic part of the galaxy that's activating more of our potential that lies dormant within our cells and our brains. I mean, that's my feeling. Why do you think it's happening?
I think that that's definitely part of it. That's the Maya prediction, you know, the physics of it, the galactic physics of the turning of the age. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But that's not happening automatically for all 8 billion of us. That's happening for those of us that have ordered it, that wanted it, that incarnated for it. And others are not going to do that. I'm not a believer in that everyone's going to wake up on the planet at this time. It's just not realistic for me. But so, yes, that's part of it. But it's not just outer spiritual galactic physics. It's our heart's yearning. I heard someone say the other day, and I know it's true for me, there's over 800 million people on the planet now. That's a lot of people that are actively, their main goal is this merging, awakening, moving on into 4D, 5D, if you want to call it that.
800 million of us like-minded people? Mm-hmm. Where'd you hear that? I mean, where did they get that figure from?
Well, I got that from my guides, my teachers.
Oh, okay.
And this is everyone. And some of us are not conscious of it. They may not call it that. Mm-hmm. But that's a good news. It's kind of like the 100th monkey thing. Yeah, we've done it, you know. It's kind of a done deal. That doesn't mean there's not going to be a lot of suffering and some stuff still going on. But the shift I felt and the whole thing with 2012, and it's so amazing, you know, it's sort of the way the Berlin Wall came down. When we looked away, it came down, right? When we didn't notice, when we weren't paying attention. And so this turning of the age, as God is, the most humble, the most unseen, the least bombastic, the least showing off, this shift of the age really did happen. It just didn't happen on CNN, you know, the way people thought it would.
When you say it happened, what do you mean? What actually happened when you say, I mean, it seems pretty much like it was before December 21st. I mean, there's subtle differences.
Yeah.
I feel like, what do I feel? More clarity, I suppose. But what do you think happened?
It is what you just said. It is the fact that we moved the galaxy into this next, you know, the age of Aquarius, the age of acceleration. We had to make it past that hump. But it is a gentle shift. I always say, look, it's the thief in the night. Why would Jesus say it that way? What is he talking about? Because it sneaks up on you. It's like you watching a flower. Even a morning glory that you know opens incredibly rapidly. But if you actually sit and watch it, you cannot see it move. But if you get a phone call and come back 20 minutes later, it opened up. And so that's how this shift happens, because that's how the prime mover, prime creator, source God tends to do things, not with big fanfare and show.
So what's happening for you now? What are you aware of at this moment or in these last few weeks that you weren't really aware of before? Because you're tuning in, a part of awakening is tuning into the subtleties of being.
Absolutely. What I noticed, two things. Personally, I notice there's those parts of me that still needs to be cleaned are asserting, saying, deal with this, look at this, allow this. It's like an upgrade. It's an acceleration, and it's enjoyment, exciting. It's like, ah, ready. Okay, let's let this go. Let's get on with it. And with people that I work with and notice and hear from, because I'm a little bit out there and people write me and send me things and so forth, is I find the people that have been on the path of awakening, wanting to heal, learn, so forth, spiritual awakening, they are getting doors opening. Now it's getting a little bit easier. They're not feeling so much a stranger in a strange land. That's the shift I see. And for the people that have not addressed it yet, it's getting harder and tighter and more, you got to face your stuff. That's the shift I'm seeing right now.
Right. No, I think that's true. And I think even if you have faced your stuff, I think those lessons are getting more intense, yeah. Actually.
It's John Lennon down the block from you. Instant karma is getting more instant.
Right. Instant karma is going to get you.
Yeah.
But let's go a little out there now and talk about the other realms, because I think part of the shift is this blurring of the lines between third, fourth, fifth, sixth, all those seventh dimensions, and the beings, the consciousness, the levels of abstract thought are starting to download more concretely the healing energies, the all those ideas in a way that don't even have words yet. In our culture, are starting to infuse their densities into our awareness. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And like I said, it's sneaking up on us. It's kind of it's like a soft, soft breeze is the closest, you know, but it's a consciousness breeze. It can be a breeze, your awakening, but it has tended to be kind of tough.
But go into more specifics when you say it's sneaking up on us. What exactly, what awarenesses are you noticing? And you can be a little out there. Maybe we'll lose some people in this, but let's lose them so they can find us, you know?
I hear you. I recently, existing in multiple dimensions at once.
Yes, let's talk about that. That's very exciting. Yes.
For example, I had the biggest that I can remember for a while. Just last week, I'm at the gym. And by the way, real spirituality involves whatever spirit is telling you to do. If you need to go to the gym and lift weights, then do it. Follow your guidance. You know what I mean? Because being grounded is a key to integrate these energies as they come. So I'm at the gym, and I'm doing bench presses with some heavy weight that I haven't done for a while. And all of a sudden, I start literally losing track of... At one point, about 3% of me goes, can I remember who I am? What is my name? What is my social security number? You understand? So it was emerging. Spirit was showing me, and it was interesting. It was at the gym because it's like, here's the most sort of earth-based thing you do, and I want to show you that we need to integrate the two. I'm in five places at once. I was trying to describe it to a friend. I'm having continuous multiple deja vus.
Wow, I like that. That is a new idea.
Isn't that intense?
Yeah, that's great.
And I had a little bit of fear of, because I couldn't remember my routine at the gym, right? Part of me sees, I'm going to walk up to the front here and go, I need some help. And I don't want to scare people, but since you brought it, you know. I need some help. I can't remember my name. Part of me thought that a little bit. But God was showing me. When I say God, I say it's our higher self. It's the large consciousness of, you know. But showing me this is going to happen more and more because these are the waves coming in. So I'm literally remembering this other reality that feels alien and super familiar at the same time. And then my heart's opening. I'm seeing this woman on the treadmill and the guy over here. And I just want to, like, tell them I love you, right? Mm. And yet I have enough sort of remembrance of the social rules at the gym that I go, well, that might be a little much, right?
Right.
So these are experiences that in the past, when it has broken through too soon for people, like Sid Barrett of Pink Floyd, God bless him, right? But through chemicals, it's too much. But even with shamanic journeys, you have to reintegrate it, or Yogananda, cosmic consciousness, when he talks about his samadhi experiences. So you're going to have these episodes of timelessness or multiple existence-ness, not just in your dreams, but in your waking, walking, talking dreams as well. I'll give you one, Alan. This is a beautiful one. Years ago, me and a partner were trying to start a spa before spas became popular about 20 years ago. You know, the spas are everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were trying to start one in Scottsdale. You know, we were talking to all the different resorts. And we actually started at a resort there. We were going to do a spa, and we were on site, and we were building the spa and so forth. And meeting with the owners one day, there was a negotiation with the management of the hotel, the resort. And because we'd been doing this exploration out in the Superstition Mountains and the canyons in Arizona and entering timelessness, we would literally enter flexible timelessness with these ancient shamans, Medicine Cloud, Hopi shaman, these disembodied, but he can take physical form. And these teachers are all real. I know it sounds far out to a lot.
No, I'm into it. If you start to develop that awareness, they're as real as anything on the physical plane. Yeah.
Actually more real because they exist in all the dimensions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're sitting in the business meeting, and we had been shown, or part of us had been shown, this timelessness, being able to sort of freeze time. And in the middle of the business meeting, we need to make a decision about negotiating for sort of money and, you know, some things that will set the future for the spa. And literally time freezes, and there's a portal, like an old Roman sort of curved portal at the top that opens off to the right in the room. This is, this, you know, and we
can... Oh, that's pretty amazing. So you're both seeing this thing?
Me and my partner, yeah.
You're both seeing the same thing.
We're both seeing the same thing. And we literally had then 20 minutes to go over there and kind of discuss what we would like to present while our bodies are still sitting in the meeting.
Wow. Well, that's pretty good. So what did that do for you? What did you gain from that awareness?
It is the loosening of this fixed, false 3D prison reality. We need the loosening. We may read about Ramana Maharshi or feel into him or hear about Yogananda and realize, yeah, that's true, but how does that apply to me? Or Don Juan, you know, trying to do it with Carlos out in the desert just south of me here, right? Mm-hmm. Carlos Castaneda.
Yeah, so I love this... Carlos Castaneda. He was a teacher for me. I mean, the books really were an awakening. So what is all this is trying to do? It's trying to bring us more awareness. Is that what you're saying?
So say yes to, and don't worry, your own higher self and your source, you can put in the caveat, I want it to be safe because I don't want the dam to burst too soon. I don't want to start blabbering about this to my friends and family and they think I'm having an episode, right? Which can happen. Spiritual casualties is a fact. You know, you can push past. And in the West, we don't have a box for a crazy master so much, you know. Swami Muktananda's teacher, Nityananda, who I've been just feeling lately, obviously could not, he was born, you know, appeared in the jungle and literally would throw things at people and they would get healed and walk around naked. We don't have models for that so much in the West, right? So ask for... This is where the real awakening starts happening. You're going to have the experiences and at the same time be able to integrate them into your this current culture. And then we're changing it from within. You know, we're by us embodying by the thousands, by the millions, by this download, this second coming is the coming from within all of us. But these experiences will happen to you. They've actually happened to most people. It's just that we filter them out and don't remember them and choose not to remember stuff like UFOs or what I just described, time stopping, or me last week, you know, at the gym. So say yes. A person, we can all say, or people listening, you can say, okay, I'm ready for more of that, but I want it to be safe, God. You can say that. That's fine. You know, to the universe. I'm ready for more of that. Show me where. Now, it's very exacting. It knows exactly. It's like a true teacher. They don't respect any of your personal ego, of course. They will. So the universe will ask you if you've avoided your feelings, for instance, being very real with your feelings, like psychology, you know, feelings, emotions, then that will be a place you may have to work. if you've been overly involved with the feelings, you may have to learn some detachment, you know. So the next step for each soul, of course, God Source knows exactly what we need. Now, I had a lot of various teachings, you know, the yogic thing and then shamanic thing. We go to the ayahuasca journeys now. I have some partners down in Peru recently got a piece of Pablo Amaringo's, the famous painter, ayahuasca painter. They're just moving the whole camp to his land. They're inheriting the land that he used to live on.
Just let me ask you, think ayahuasca is valuable when the subtleties of these awarenesses are coming in very naturally? Because I personally think it gets in the way. For me, it does. I don't know. But when last time I tried it, it's like really clogged up my psychic channels, and it was like totally unnecessary for me. Other people, it might be, it's planting the seeds. I mean, definitely Castaneda needed that to awaken his awareness, the peyote journeys. But I don't think we need it at this time. I think it's become, in a way, an addiction, a crutch, and gets in the way of us knowing what is our consciousness as opposed to the plant consciousness.
I hear you, and I agree. It depends on who you are and where you are. Like one of my teachers who said, no, that's not for me. One of my ex-partners I used to work with, and we used to do seminars and work together with groups, he said, no, that's not for me. And I got drawn to it because I'm a bridge in helping people to go down there and do it. So I needed to go and do it myself. But I've not been called back to do it. No, I agree. The ultimate real stuff is that which is already in us. But sometimes we need a knock on the head, or it's a nice preview to die before you die so that you know this stuff is real, instead of, oops, I died and I can't go back to the body, you know. And ayahuasca is the vine of the dead. That's what it means in Quechua. So it means vine or rope of the dead, ayahuasca. And it will spread across the planet to help the masses, and I'm not being elitist about it there, but she has a job to do to show people the other dimensions in a full body way, and then it needs to be grounded, you know, absolutely. And
it's already spread across the planet. It's already...
No, I know, but it's going to do it more. It's going to be in medical situations and helping healing with various things and so forth. The next 20, 30 years, it's going to get bigger and bigger.
Well, how would it help in healing, in medicine? I mean,
well, for instance, addiction. I mean, heroin addiction, the hardest thing on the planet. There's a French doctor down in Iquitos who's just showing that within 10 ceremonies, 60% of heroin addicts are actually cured of the addiction. It's not just abstaining. It gets to the root of the problem.
Because it shows you a greater awareness? Is that how it gets to the root of the problem?
It takes you to the spiritual, the soul sore, you could call it, the tear in the etheric fabric, the pain in the heart and the soul. It takes it to the foundation. It's like AA. I'm not picking on AA, but it takes years of talk therapy is their method. They just sort of do a hard abstaining. Ayahuasca will take you to the reason you drink, the reason you're addicted, what are you avoiding, what's the pain, what's the source of the pain. It takes you there, and when you heal it at the source, all the other stuff goes away, you know.
I think there's a very fine line. I think the ayahuasca worm, the etheric worm, it actually wraps around your pineal pituitary system and squeezes the serotonin out, and that creates the hallucinations. But you're stuck with the worm, or what Castaneda called the inorganic allies, and then you have to tame them or be sucked into that world. I'm sure you've seen shamans that gets stuck in that way. Even a lot of people who do those ceremonies now, I know people here.
No, I agree.
And they've gotten trapped in the world of the inorganic beings. You know that part in the Castaneda teachings, he talks about that?
I do, and I agree. Ayahuasca is just, but it's just like Shiva, Alan. Shiva is a non-judger of the dark and the light, yes?
Right. Well, you know, I just saw this movie called Solar Revolution, and it's about how as we move into this part of the galaxy, more DMT will naturally or can or might naturally be released in our brains to give us these awakened experiences. And maybe the ayahuasca ceremony was just a preview for those DMT experiences.
Exactly. My experience has always been with any psychedelics, and it was just, I would just do a little of it, and then God and my own inner self, my soul would say, now do it for real.
Exactly.
Yeah. And absolutely. So anytime you get addicted, but in general, ayahuasca tends to kick your butt if you get into the addictive thing. Now, you can do it if you do it in a pure way, if you do it with good doses in a ceremonial original setting where the intention is for healing, not for avoiding. You know? She's really one of the best for that. So she will have a role as sort of snapping people out of fixed reality and showing, look, there's all these other dimensions. Now you need to, I'll help you heal some of this stuff. And now let's apply it to, you know, boots on the ground, and let's grow our gardens and make a better planet, you know?
Yeah, no, it's great if it can help addiction. No, I'm not against it for people who use it as that kind of medicine. I guess everyone does. You can't avoid it. But and especially for addictions. I know they were using that African herb for addictions too.
Ibogaine,
yeah. I guess that's even more powerful.
Yes, I've never done that. And I am not, I ask, you know, I ask, well, should I go back? And I haven't been back for a few years. But part of our spiritual travelers, one of the things we offer, I have good partners down there that offer traditional Shipibo Indian Amazonian shamanism, and that helps people. For the right people, it's a godsend. And don't worry, if it's not for you, you're not going to be attracted to it. But absolutely, don't get whether it's stuck in a cult or stuck in a certain practice. This is the new thing we're talking about. Like, if you're stuck in a certain practice that your soul has now gotten tired of, you need to get out of it. You need to shift radically into something else, you know. If you've been, like I said, I had a Buddhist woman, 30-year nun, and her symptoms were scales on her skin. Her whole body got inflamed with her skin being red, or whatever they call that, some kind of eczema. And she's like, what's going on? And when we went into the background of what's happening, it was time to release that school. It was for her to come back out into the world, let the world touch her. Her skin was not wanting to be in renunciation anymore. It wanted to, and so that's how it would manifest, because when we don't listen to the inner voice, it tends to manifest stronger, you know?
Right. That's what someone said. The idea is not to learn the lesson. The lesson comes if you don't get the message, you know? To get the message. So what do you recommend? I mean, yes, ayahuasca is great for whatever it is, but as far as helping people activate this awareness, do you recommend any kind of meditation, any kind of?
Yeah. Three main processes I work with for people. And I do personal work with people as well. Soulcounseling.com is where you can find me for that. And I love that. And people sometimes ask, isn't that hard work? I go, no, because Spirit, God wants to do this through me. And so I love it. I get to completely enjoy it. But the three main methods that have occurred to me, and there's nothing new under the sun, you know. There's an ancient Lemurian Shiva technique, the inner body awakening. Now, Eckhart Tolle talks about it briefly in his stuff, but it's an ancient technique from way beyond even the Indian teachings. And this is one of the simplest, to notice your inner energetic field and actually do it. It's just like anything else. You can read about it, but doing it.
What do you mean, notice your inner energetic field?
We are basically, if you look in 5D, the most simple form in the universe, what forms do suns and planets take? They are spheres. And before that, you could say there's a point of consciousness. So in the causal world, in the beginning, you know, pregnant point, the Rig Vedas, the beginning of all, there's just a point of no space-time that's the point of consciousness. And then the first form is a sphere, That's why planets and suns have that. And then, so in the fifth dimension, if you want to call it that, we are these orbs or spheres, right? And then from there, we drop into the fourth dimension, and that sphere, that golden white light sphere we are, expands sort of like an accordion into the seven chakras. The spectrum of colors expands. Oh, we have a spinal column. We have a being with form. And then we grow up from there. It effervesces like a field of irrigation off our spinal column, every chiropractor knows, into our beautiful human forms, which are the model for this galaxy just about everywhere. And then so it's energy first is my point. We are energy first, and then that is the blueprint that what we call physicality coalesces onto. It's really all energy. Our physical body is energy as well. We've just chosen or been talked into viewing and separating the physical as different from the etheric. They're not. It's just a sliding scale spectrum. So when you notice your inner body, which is just simply working with your attention, because attention and intention are the power centers of all things in the universe. Hear that one again, right? Attention and intention. That's all there is. Because where you place your attention and intention, that's what starts getting created.
So there's intention and attention. So attention is just sort of noticing, and then intention is staying with the noticing of what it is, and then sort of pouring your energy, your conscious awareness into the thing you're attending.
Yes. And or you can view it as Lao Tzu would, or, you know, masters would say, something occurs through you that wants to happen.
But intention takes focus, you know. It takes concentration. Attention is easy, and attention, it goes from here to there to there, you know.
Yes.
But the intention is where the mastery comes in. It's like...
Yes. I prefer it to not be work anymore.
Well, how do you focus? Yeah. How do you create intention as opposed to many attentions?
Yeah. For me lately, it's not my will, but thy will. So there's no exerting personal will so much. That's just my preference. There's nothing wrong with it going, okay, I really want to create this and focus on this. Or even what Solomon did, you know, you draw the pentagrams and the jinn and work with the disembodied spirits. You know, some people forget King Solomon was a true magician. He was a sorcerer, you know. And so you can exert your will, personal will, through that stuff on the world. That's nothing wrong with it per se, but there's spiritual repercussions or spiritual physics repercussions. So there is a way to surrender into what is it that my soul automatically has already in it that it prefers to let occur through me. Make me an instrument of your peace, St. Francis says. He's tapping into that surrendered space and to trust that. What is already in me that I allow that to occur? That's an intention. Like if I say, I allow that which is already in me to occur through me more beautifully and more elegantly. That's a soft intention, see, you know? But that is incredibly powerful as well, because it's when you drop into trust. You know, you drop into trust of that which already I come already with that which is in me that is perfect, you know.
Right. So what is your goals for yourself? I mean, where do you want to be? I know.
Have a good time.
What's that? Have a good time?
Have a good time.
You must have, I mean, maybe I'm just talking for myself, but I have a idea of like my ultimate perfected being that wouldn't say I'm working towards, but I'm feel being pulled towards. I mean, do you have anything like that, or are you in the moment and just loving every moment without it?
No, I agree with that, with both. I love Osho when Osho says it's usually not either or, it's usually both and more, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So both. Sometimes it's an exerted intention, goal, projected, you know, I want that, I want to have that. And but it's happening in the moment. So I allow that. Yes, I want that. I want to experience this. And it's how it feels in you. Does this feel fun for me? It's to follow your bliss thing, Joseph Campbell. I mean, it sounds so trite after 30 years in a way almost, but it really is. What is it that you're wanting? What do you want? God says. God's a waiter. God's waiting to take your order, I tell people sometimes.
But right? What do you want? Would you have like an idea? Do you want to like, because I, you know, there's this transcendent state. You just, your body disappears. You become one with all things. I mean, is that something you have? Because I think that's yes. Where my belief system
yes.
Works.
Yes.
What is it?
That's always been my attraction, you know, and having, but. There's something that I've made a promise to myself or that I want to do to stay in the earth, to do some work of spreading a Shakti pot, you know, literally just sharing some energy. And that's what it's occurring more and more on the weekend courses that we do, the Course of Awakening. And I'm not putting myself up there, you know, it's like, I really am like Yogananda that way. I just want to be with you, God. That's the time. I love just being by myself, you know. But so, yes, mm-hmm. There is a merging, but it's almost like I can feel that's there waiting in a sense. For me lately, it's more, I'm excited about being in the world and bringing this, happy news, good news. I'm sounding like Jesus again, but you know, bringing this energy to people and going, you can have some peace. This is doable through feeling your inner body. So we teach this method. We give people a concrete example. Feel your inner body by feeling your hands, your feet, take them in through the body. Now notice you can do it with your eyes open, like Buddha, half open, half closed. What did you feel? Wow, that's undeniable. You know, so teach a real method that turns me on. Teaching real methods for people. And for me personally, just more and more merging. And that looks crazy. I'm in a long-term relationship. We have 3 dogs. Joy has kids and grandkids. It's like householder in the world versus me a number of years ago. I would just sit for 6 hours a day, you know, and just be in the energy and just feel really, really, you know, wonderful. So allowing however that plays out. But in my heart, yeah, I'm really enjoying connecting with other souls in groups and sharing and laughing. We have a lot of cosmic laughter. In Hawaii a number of years ago on one of our retreats, I invited, I don't know what to call them, except the cosmic laughter Zen guru guys. They're just these laughter masters. And we had the whole group just in that, you know, you're on the ground laughing so hard you're crying and peeing yourself. And there's a whole awakening practice to that. I mean, it's silly, but so I'm enjoying the doing and being with other souls and watching their bodies crack open. And I mean, their etheric bodies and physical bodies and awake and watching the fears and watching the tears and watching the joy and then getting it to be real. So there's something in me that still wants to share and be with people. And then there's times where I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be done with here and just merge back into a long vacation.
Well, it's not up to the ego, of course, about when we're ready, right? I mean, think we're ready. That's actually the time is probably more work to do, just right. When we think we're ready. But let's talk about the ET contact. And, you know, as you, in your book, Listening to the Sun, we can also talk about what you mean by that. But this outer worldly, you know, people are pretty unconscious about what the true nature of the universe is about. And it's about consciousness in so many forms that we have even yet to imagine. And I think that's the excitement of this new time. How will we shift, just like you said, fifth-dimensional, multi-dimensional awareness is a reality that you experienced. And what does that have to do with ETs and listening to the sun?
Well, the ET thing is, at some point, it's going to just be totally common knowledge and acknowledged on our, you know, by everybody in governments and so forth. It's almost, we're almost there.
Yeah.
I've had 2 personal experiences of full day conscious, daytime craft that I couldn't deny or forget about.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little more. Where were you? When did that happen? And
about 15 years ago, one of them up in a canyon in northern Arizona. And me and a friend are out there. And our intention is each time we're going out to merge and open up to nature. Nature is, of course, perfect for you connecting. But you can do it anywhere. You can do it with your own plants at home or in the little backyard or Central Park, you know. And all of a sudden, a traditional-looking beam ship, almost like the Billy Meyer ships, you know, which is an interesting case. I think something real happened there, but things get weird. Organizationitis. That's just my opinion. But
no, I agree with you about the Billy Myers thing. I think in the 1980s, he had something, and then I think he duplicated it artificially because he couldn't get contact anymore, and that's what threw
so
it off.
You can tap into this directly. When I read Communion years ago by Whitley Strieber, that book that got famous, or you know, when he talked about his own experiences, the little gray Zeta Reticuli started to show up, you know, wanting to come into my room, and I said, they don't feel good to me.
Right.
And so, what's going on here, God Source? You know, what's happening? And what I was told at the time, we can all read the Akashic records. All of us have a full access backstage pass to anything in the universe. You can know about it. The less judgment you have on things, the more you're going to be allowed sort of let yourself know. But what I was shown at the time was that the little gray guys, the archetypal big eyes, you know, and that Zeta Reticulans are humans, some humans from right now, this time on Earth right now, when we first create the Human Genome Project, the genetic experimentation and so forth, some humans at this point in this timeline decide that emotions and physicality and sexuality are kind of annoying, and it's a better way to let's just go through brain and mind and logic and reasoning and scientism and cloning, and we'll go down that timeline. And they do, about a billion years. This is what I was shown 20 years ago. And they go down that timeline, but they reach a dead end because the life force gets attenuated. After you clone so much, you lose vigor. The life force comes to an end.
Well, also, if you breed emotion and passion and inspiration and love out of your genes, you reach a dead end. So, they took a wrong path that led away from the God source towards the intellect. And they, in a way, sterilized themselves, you know.
Exactly. And so what I was shown was some of them are going to simply be reabsorbed into source. They've reached the dead end and their planets are dying out and so forth. But there's a portion of the Zeta Reticuli that want to come back to the organic timeline, if you want, the natural timeline where it was made beautiful originally, you know, like you said, sexuality, feelings, love. And those beings are time traveling because they are masters of fourth dimension. One thing we have to remember, just because ETs may have cloaking and anti-gravity and, you know, be able to pop in and out of places in the universe, doesn't mean that they have heart and love, all of them. Some do, some don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so some of them are coming back to this timeline where they started this journey, and they are abducting, quote unquote, themselves.
Right. I get that. I mean, I get something like that, not exactly that. So when you saw this ship in northern Arizona, where were you, in Sedona or someplace else?
I was about 40 miles east of Sedona in a canyon up on the Mogollon Rim.
Okay, so what happened when you saw the ship?
What happened that first time was I could only see it in my mind because I couldn't handle it. And I caught a glimpse of it, and then I went unconscious for about 5-10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then when I came back, my friend was looking at me. Now, he was a little more – he stayed conscious during the whole experience, and I looked at him, and he's a wise teacher too, and he's kind of waited for me to see if I would remember anything. And I described to him the experience, and at first I asked him, there's a ship up here, wasn't there? And he goes, yes. And it looked like this, and the people in there, and they were observing us and this and that. But they were humans like us, weren't they? And he's like, yes. So that was the first experience. The second, And so they were just connecting. There was no teaching. They were more interested, intrigued in what we were doing as we part of our vision quest of awakening process, kind of awakening our own energetic fields, bodies. And so they were intrigued and supportive, but they were not going to talk to us directly. I'm trying to remember if they had a channeled message for us at the time. By the way, channeling, I have a video on YouTube. If you go to Tobias Lars on YouTube, there's 100 videos there. But one of them I talk about, channeling is over. So I'm not a, you know, you can get caught in channeling and all
that. What do you mean it's over?
I know I'm teasing. I'm kind
of. It's okay, but.
No,
no,
I hear you. Well, my point is you can get caught in channeling. We used to do the channeling. You know, I just did it recently too. But you can get caught in putting the authority outside yourself. So these guys had a message for us, but the message included also it's time for you to awaken, not to give all your power or trust to us because we got fancy machinery and we may appear more advanced somewhat, which we are, but it's for you guys to wake up from inside the current earth situation. That's what we're here to do. So they were observing, supporting, but, you know, not wanting us to in any way deify them. Not that my friend and I are prone to do that anyway. But so when I jokingly say sometimes, I'll say, channeling is over. It's time to admit that that's just another aspect of yourself.
Wait. So, but there are some beings that do communicate, like you said, the internal masters that are also have their own unique consciousness that can give messages, perhaps. I mean,
yes, I agree. No, I agree.
So,
I agree, both. But people can tend to get too listening on every word, and I have to attend the channeling and only instead of it's a balance for those guys. They have to come and share the teaching, but we get attached to, I need to ask what, you know, the entity is telling me to do or check with kinesiology, and you can get caught in all that. The thing to remember, that's why I jokingly say, channeling is over. It's time to do full body conscious. You're it. You're a piece of God. Mm-hmm. You are the God. Yes, but
yeah.
It's all.
No, and I do agree with that. Yeah, we don't have to rely on these channels to show us the way. They're here to assist these beings, whatever form they show up, and it's for us to do the work.
You know. I joke with them and say, come on, guys, take a human body. Don't be afraid.
Right.
Okay.
Like they're going to get lost. But actually, a lot of these beings have been in human bodies, and they emerged out of it as well. So both are possible. And, yeah, I mean, I tend not to listen to the beings that never had a human body because what do they know?
Exactly. And some of those, I'm going to say it, some of them that are incarnating now, there's a person I'm thinking of, I'm going to talk names here, but that they think they're here to teach us, but they're actually here just starting their human experience. I feel that one.
Yeah, no, I get that, and I've seen that, and, you know, that's the rough lesson.
Yes, it is.
That's actually what Rampa said himself. He said, how could those people before he incarnated get so lost and deluded and involved in the physical realm? And, of course, he came down and was a crazy warrior himself.
Exactly. And all that's good, I want to say.
Yeah.
I did that with a partner. We would channel these ascended masters and the real ones. And you got to be careful because there's mimicking spirits that will, and you got to learn to discern. And it's a lesson for people. If you go down a path where someone is pretending to be Kutumi or Sananda or whatever, you know, and they're not really, you will get that wake up call. But that's the part of the learn to discern. The thing is, we are the deciders. We are the discerners. And so these are allowed all formats, all possible timelines, all possible scenarios are allowed as part of wake-up calls. Some of the wake-up calls are harsh. Oops, that was not the right way to go, like the Zeta Reticulites we just talked about.
Right. But sometimes you have to go down that path and know that you weren't supposed to take it, right?
That's right. It's all good. It's all just exploration. I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, if you knew you were supposed to take it, you wouldn't have went down there and you would have had the lesson. So anyway, yeah, it's all perfect and it's unfolding. So what do you mean now about listening to the sun? What is that?
Well, that was That's my book on Amazon, Listening to the Sun and Awakening Souls. And by the way, it's the same book, so you don't need to order both of them. They're just two different covers and titles. Don't tell Amazon and they'll get all freaked out. But anyway, I'm trying to be a little outside the box sometimes. Uh-huh. Those are my own personal stories of real concrete experience, like we just talked about, the ETs and so forth. And that encourages the people. The feedback I get from the book is, wow, that's a voice of sanity. You're grounded about it, yet you're having these experiences, and I don't feel so crazy, or that makes sense. And I speak a lot about sexuality, the emotional body. False enlightenment is one of the titles in there, where this whole thing about there are false sort of byways, in a sense. This is my opinion, but you can get lost in mental enlightenment, like we said, about not including the full spectrum human. The full spectrum human includes all your parts, your chakras, your sexuality.
Yeah, well, what do you have to say about sexuality? I do a lot of shows about that because I think it's mm-hmm. probably the best way to get us in our bodies, you know.
Yes, it is. So there's no accident then that it would be. That's the rocket fuel of creation to make sure you don't avoid it. You know, if you could create babies out of your crown chakra, you'd probably totally avoid your lower chakras.
Well, I don't know about it. I don't know anyone who really wants to avoid their lower chakras. That's what feels good. I mean, most people actually want to indulge in it, which is okay too. But what do you have to say about sexuality and spirituality?
Some of the chapters in the book, one is God is omnisexual, you know, God loves sex.
Uh-huh. What about that, though? What do you say?
Yeah, so God is omnisexual, meaning sex is everything. All of creation is basically orgasmic. This is why masters or anyone, the ecstasy of St. Teresa, made famous recently by Demon and Angels, Dan Brown, that St. Teresa of Avila. When I was a young man, I traveled to that town just because I wanted to feel her spirit. I'm like 22 years old.
Did you feel it?
I connected with some eternal, peaceful, beautiful place of this woman as a fellow follower of the true Christ. Yeah, I did. And I was 22, I think, at the time.
And was she having orgasms, kind of
cosmic
religious orgasms?
Yes, and physical orgasms.
Oh, she was, yeah. I didn't know that. And so
at the same time.
So she was in her expanded consciousness with her orgasms kind of reaching this God space.
Yes.
And I think that's the awakening of Kundalini that's happening on the planet right now to a lot of people.
Absolutely. And so the merging of the two is, it's the royal highway, true tantra, you know. And again, you have to be careful because you're playing with fire in a way. You know, it's very powerful.
You can be burned, yes.
Yeah, you're playing with, so it can get creepy and it can get succubus type stuff, you know, in the old language, you know.
What do you mean? I mean, can you be more specific?
Sure. So whenever you open the energy of sex, it's a very... Of course, it's the thing we all love and work for and want, and we want merging, and that's the gateway. I mean, when you orgasm, you're merging. You're having moments of your brain shuts off. You forget who's whose body, you know. You're starting to have real merging. So that would obviously be the moths would be drawn to that flame. So you get all kinds of entities and spirits that want to feed off of that energy as well.
Right.
And so any true tantra master, Shiva at the top and everyone else who's followed his path, will have to work both with, quote, the demons and the angels, or the good, the beings that want to steal or drain energy from you and the ones that want to share. These are real things, you know.
Right, right. And I think that's really important, actually, for a lot of people who have a lot of partners. They don't realize it's not just the pleasure thing. You are picking up energies that stick to your field because of the sex and actually start to interpenetrate your field, you know?
That's right.
And so it may look like a lot of fun and great and feel great, but, you know, there's a cleansing that, and not to make people too paranoid, but you really have to cleanse your field. And when you merge with someone's field in the most intimate ways, in a way you're taking on their karma or their stuff or their vibe, and it's mm-hmm. it affects us, and we may not even be conscious about how it affects us. So I think that's a really important point. You're right.
So conscious sexuality is what I talk about in the book, you know, exactly. And that doesn't mean it has to look a certain way. It can be raucous, lustful, I mean, whatever it is. God is all of that, ultimately, but it has to do with being conscious and present. And if you can keep your heart in it, and I don't mean namby-pamby heart, again, it can be raucous, very lustful, powerful, quote, you know, dirty, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. It's fine. It has more to do with an innocence of heart, you know, a forthrightness, a transparency, an honesty. You know, Jesus had sex, we're finally realizing, you know, after it's coming out the last 10 years, And so it's meant to be included. So when I say God is omnisexual, God has sex with tigers. You know what I'm saying? God has sex with men, women, ETs, everything, plants. Because God is sex. God, that's the life force source creation. So for us to exclude that, we have to include it, of course, in the full embodied, the full spectrum human. What? And to do that right, there's certain techniques and this and that, of course.
But I mean, the certain tantric techniques.
More. Tantric techniques, yes. But the main thing is to keep your heart. A simple way of saying that is, can you let God be with you as you have sex?
The other thing that seems so strange is the fact that it is pleasurable or supposed to be pleasurable creates a conflict for people. They're not allowing themselves pleasure. I don't get that one. And the whole Catholic Church thing, it's like you're not supposed to be here to have pleasure. It's like, well, that is why we're supposed to be here, you know?
I know. I just felt that recently with the Pope and all this stuff going on. And when you feel that, it's some deep seed of shame, and you're not worthy to enjoy yourself. We've been convinced that we did something wrong. I'm speaking as a collective human now. A lot of us, like you, Alan, or I felt that way, too. Growing up in Sweden, too, it's like, sex is fine. What's the big deal? But it was kind of an atheistic perspective, you know? But it wasn't any of this Puritanism about it, you know?
Right. America is a bit more puritanical than Sweden. Guess the kind of moral fear about that is, if something feels good, that's all you're going to want to do. And it's only because we haven't really been allowed to do it that it becomes a fixation and a frozen, what does Maslow call it? Like, when you aren't able to fulfill a need, you get stuck at that level. And us, and we collectively have been stuck. And if it was allowed, and that's why Sweden is a very open society, and women are beautiful, but, you know, you know, there's an allowance and an evolution, and, you know, I'm sure they're uptight in other ways.
It's not paradise.
No, they have their stuff, but that's not one of them.
So I agree. I call it arrested development.
Exactly.
We're like a broken record on the sexual thing. But at its root, I think it's something about, I don't deserve to just be and receive, you know. I have to work for my salvation, or there's some shame thing about, and that's an old word, I know, but it's something about God can't love, I did something wrong, and therefore I'm not allowed to enjoy beauty, pleasure, and you know, just receiving the gifts of the universe, the garden. You're being given to just because I am. And so something as pleasurable as sex would be particularly judged because of that. And I also think it's a control thing, because once you get people free on sexual levels, you can't control them, because then they start opening the fountain of youth, the fountain of foreverness, the source of force of the universe. You know, and once you open that in people, you can no longer control them collectively. So it's been controlled through religious injunctions and so forth, you know, for that purpose.
Right. So as we sort of wrap up, let's take it all to this like next level, where we have this multidimensional awareness, we're in touch with these inner guides, we have the grounding of being in the body and allowing pleasure, and this interaction with this ongoing evolutionary awareness. Where does this all bring us as a collective? I mean, what do you see for the future, and how, and what's the best way to get there?
I see a continued slow kind of decay, destruction of the old, okay? It's not going to be, I don't see massive nuclear war, maybe one weapon from North Korea or something, but nothing big for the whole planet. It will continue to decay while at the same time this new merging of the organic and the technical. We're going to have the internet continue. We're going to have more and more ease with technology, and eventually we'll pop into free energy. Free energy, anti-gravity, communion with other humans across the galaxy while we allow Mother Earth, Gaia, to be her organic self. We're going to learn to have the two to cooperate and eventually transcend completely the technical. I always say, why would Buddha have a UFO? He has his energy field, you know. Why would Jesus need a UFO? We will leave technology behind as far as you know, concrete computer stuff. We won't need that because all those abilities exist naturally. But first we're going to go into a cooperative stage of organic and technology, and then eventually fully back into completely natural human, the full spectrum human, Da Vinci's vision of that beautiful painting here, or that picture he drew, you know, that balanced Vitruvian man. We're going back into that. And that's going to take a few hundred years, few thousand years, but we're going to have free energy here coming up within 100 years, I see. And
wait, so if people have some issues still, and you know, we're all working through our stuff, and right, what do you, I mean, because that is the vision of the great future utopia, that it's possible. We are at the edge of realizing these possibilities, but we still have our stuff to work through. I mean, what do you recommend to clear our emotional stuff, our stuff with our childhood, all that stuff that we know is still, you know, popping its head out of our relationships, our interactions? What do you suggest?
I really suggest the idea of the full spectrum human. The whole spinal column is important, not just intellect and power or inspiration or heart, but also sexuality and emotions. Intend, make an intention. I want to fully integrate and be a full, natural, full spectrum human. And be where that draws you, wherever that draws you. Now, we offer some things with the inner body awakening, the alchemy energy process, and the heart energy. And these are three very practical techniques to get you in your body, open your heart, and learn to alchemize these old issues, because it's all energy. Once you as a soul start realizing all my stuff that I don't want, my issues, as you will, right, is really made of energy, and I can work with them on energy bases, you start loosening and feeling less of the effect of it. So we do a practical seminar, The Course of Awakening. We hope to come to New York this year. It might be quick here in a month or two, or it might be in the fall. And so something that you're drawn to, ask the universe, what's for me so I get more balanced, more integrated? And whatever that is, you might be doing Qigong or yoga or come into some of the things we do or find a person to work with or go to the gym, whatever it is, or get more spiritual, meditate, you know. Whatever that is, whatever you're drawn to, whatever clicks for you. So personal work is key. The last video I made, you see, you know, it's the inner, you have to do an inner practice. If you're not doing an inner connective communion practice, however you commune and connect to your own inner higher self, meditation, working, walking, playing with dogs, something that connects you to the internal eternal. You need to decide that that's important. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven within you. You got to do it. Mm-hmm. And however that, sometimes you may have to have a discipline. I'm just working with a gentleman today. I said, you know, you need to probably set aside times to make yourself do it the first, you know, month or so, because sometimes that's what it takes. So it's some kind of internal connective practice, Tai Chi. You know, the inner body to me is so simple. In other lifetimes, I've been a Qigong master, but the inner body awakening is such a concrete, direct, integrative merging the inner and the outer, merging both worlds, experience. It's a very simple technique. And once you start learning it, you can really do it anywhere, anytime, on the bus, walking about, at work. It doesn't matter. Mm. So practical technique, something that connects you to the internal eternal, whatever that may be.
Great. No, that sounds great. So how do people get in touch with you?
Well, three main things: personal sessions, soulcounseling.com. If you come to Sedona, I can do it with you in person, but 80% of it I do now is across the planet via Skype, which works just as well. Courseofawakening.com is an online video course, and also the seminars that we bring. We're going to be in Tahoe here again in a week and a half, and I think I'm going to Sweden and Australia this year. So the Course of Awakening seminar, we're glad to bring it anywhere. And Spirit's just showing me it's time to do this on a little bigger scale. And then we have some fun. We travel. We go to Hawaii. We go on a wolf adventure, spiritualtravelers.com. We go swim with the dolphins and turtles on the Big Island, go visit the volcano, and come to Sedona. I have really wonderful access to Hopi land, too. I have some really good access to the original canyons and sacred canyons and 12,000 petroglyphs, and I know the families on Walpi. And so if people are drawn to Hopi land, I usually just do one, two, or three people up there. So those are the two main things. Yeah.
I'm glad you're out there doing your piece to bring awareness to the planet. So if there's anything you want to just leave us with, anything that comes to you that will just inspire people.
Yeah. It really has changed. Those of us that have had that heart the whole time, this lifetime of, something's not quite right in here. And I know you, Alan, done a long time, but those of us who have felt, I haven't been able to live my true self. I haven't been able to be honest with how I really feel. That has changed now. It is not only time, it has become much easier. So start saying your dreams, speaking your truth, and it's time to take those steps because you're going to have so much support. It did shift. Things have shifted now. And for those of you that are going through wake-up process and awakening and you're seemingly things are out of control or there's more and more pressure on you, say yes to this, to these wake-up calls, and find some practices and say, I do want to wake up. I do want to heal myself. And there's lots of help out there. So for those of you that have been dreamers and inspired, this is your time to bring your show, your art, your heart, your stuff out into the world. You will have more support than ever. Just start it. Just start it somewhere. Start a blog. Start your thing. Do a website. Start recording stuff. Stick it on YouTube. Express your voice. Be who you really are, your authentic self. And those others, like I said of you, who are going to be getting more and more wake-up calls, just shift your stance and say, okay, what am I needing to learn? What am I needing to learn? What am I needing to learn? And be willing to go through it, you know. It's getting better and better and better. No matter what appearances are, there's more and more closeness to real spirit available easier and easier every day. And that's a fact. And I've been doing this for 30 years, this lifetime, and God knows how many other lifetimes.
Right. No, it seems like there is an empowerment. So, yeah, I agree. Just intend something. Just take one step towards God. You know, God takes 10 steps towards you or something like that. I mean,
yeah.
Intention does carry more weight these days. I think that's what you're saying, too. So it's a great time. It's upliftment. So maybe we'll meet in Sedona.
You come out, you let me know.
I will. Thanks for being a guest here on New Realities.
Thank you, Alan.
I'm talking to Tobias Lars, and his website was courseofawakening.com, giving workshops all over the country and all over the world. And maybe we'll do something in New York when you get here too, Tobias.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Thank
you, Alan. And I want to say, through the years, occasionally I've seen your stuff. People have sent me. And anyway, I love what you do. It's very nice. It's beautiful.
Thanks. Well, it's just talking about what I'm interested in, where I feel the spirit is leading me. So that's why we're all coming into this kind of cohesiveness together.
Yes.
So thanks. Thanks for saying that. And we'll be in touch, okay?
All right. Thank you, Alan.
Okay. Talk to you, Tobias. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, you can go to my website, newrealities.com. You can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. I want to thank everyone at BBS Radio, of course, for their dedication to bringing the truth to the world. Thank you. Good night.
Waking up in the middle of my life, nothing's what it seems. I feel the fire come alive. Feel the fire
in the fire.
Come alive.
In the fire.